Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
All right, good morning. Like Titus said, I'm Sam. I've known him a really long time, so I do have stories about him, but he's also known me a long time, so he has some stories about me. So we're both just going to keep those to ourselves. But I'm excited to be here this morning. I'm one of the pastors at our Post Falls campus, and I just love what God is doing in and through you as a campus, how you're making a difference in this area and staying on mission with the Lord. So good job, and great to see so many people here this morning on a beautiful Sunday morning. You're in church. Nice work. Do want to encourage you, as it's a little full in here, there are services at 8, 11:30, and Thursday. Guys, I was here Thursday. They had dinner. It was ribs. Somebody smoked ribs for everybody. It was like, what? I'm coming to church every Thursday up here. Then I'll go back to Post Falls. Anyways, I'm excited for our time this morning. I have a question for you as we jump into the message. Maybe just kind of answer it in your head just in case your answer. Anyways, I'll just encourage you with that. All right, how do you respond? What are things that come to mind, or how do you engage? What are things that you say when the wicked or godless people or people that aren't Christians, when they seem to get away with whatever they want? How do you respond? What do you do? What do you say? Whether it's a family member that doesn't know the Lord but just seems to make life all about them, or maybe it's a coworker or a boss, maybe it's a neighbor that just thinks that the world evolves around them. Maybe some of the wicked or the frustrations you have are related to government that try to take control and just do their own thing and not serve the people. How do you respond? And how are we to respond as God's people? How are we to reflect him as we do life with people that don't know him, that don't prioritize him, that don't do life his way? How do we do that? So we're going to be talking about. And my oldest daughter and I had an opportunity this spring to kind of exercise this. She did track, and we were at one of her track meets in Eastern Washington. And while she was getting ready for her event, we could kind of hear other events were happening, and we started to hear the crowd kind of making different noises or even some boos that happened. It was like, man, what's going on? So we looked out at the track, and on the track, this boy was beating all the girls in a race. There was a transgender kid from one of the schools that was competing against the girls. And there were a lot of things within me that I just go, man, this isn't right. There's so many things. And I actually couldn't remember how I responded. So I had to talk to my daughter before sharing at church. I'm like, what did I say when we saw that boy running and doing that thing? And she's like, you didn't say anything. And I was like, oh, like, thank you, Lord. I thought a lot of things. And I'm glad none of them came out. I got to have some good conversation with my daughter after the race and talk through things. But right, as believers living in a culture that is turning away from the Lord, we're going to face more and more situations like that, that just don't line up with who our God is, that are in full rebellion and rejection to his design and how he's created the world. How do we engage? How do we behave in a way that points to the Lord and hopefully, right, in a way that God would use us to draw people to himself? What does that look like? So that's what we're doing this summer. We're going through the Beatitudes, Jesus talking about in Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. So if you have your Bible app, that's where we're gonna be. Go ahead and turn there to Matthew chapter 5. And the beginning of this sermon that Jesus has is this reminder of kind of what do the people of God's kingdom look like? How are they characterized? What's their traits, their qualities? And a couple of things that Jesus is doing on the Sermon on the Mount. One is he is painting that picture of what it looks like to be a part of his kingdom. And it's not just based on birthright, right? Because in Jesus' time, to the Jews, they thought they were good with God just based on being born a Jew, which can be like in our country, right? Some people think they're fine with God because they're born in America and America is a Christian country. But Jesus is going, that's not how you're in and how you're right with God. The other thing that Jesus is doing at the Sermon on the Mount is he's kind of proving that we're all guilty. That as we read through the Sermon on the Mount, none of us measure up to the standard of what it looks like to be God's people. None of us can do it on our own, right? He's painting this picture. This is what it looks like to be a part of God's kingdom. And the reality is you all fall short. You need a savior. So that's what Jesus is doing as we're getting rolling here. And Beatitudes, it comes from a Latin word. It's not in the Bible, but it's around this idea of Jesus has multiple statements where he says, blessed. Blessed are you, or happy are you, or fortunate are you. Kind of like, this is good for you if these are the things that kind of characterize your life. And so today we're going to be tackling verse 5, Matthew 5, where Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. This idea of meek, also some of your translations say, blessed are the humble, or blessed are the gentle. These are our aspects of meekness. Blessed are you, happy are you if you are characterized by meekness, a humility, an acknowledgement that life isn't all about you, not about your preferences, not about your will, right? Dying to self, right? Blessed are you if you embody the gentleness that is tied to meekness, where you're not harsh, not rude, right? You're the fruit of God's Spirit coming through your life, right? Blessed are you when you're selfless, thinking about others as more important than yourself. Man, how are we doing so far? We're talking about humility, gentleness, selflessness. Does everybody in here, do we have these all mastered? Anybody in here totally humble? Want to raise their hand and let us know that you're totally humble. Anybody here always gentle? Anybody here ever say anything they regret after it comes out of your mouth? And you just had to prove that. You just had that one last little word in to prove, like to get the last word, and it stung a little bit, and you're like, wow, that didn't represent Jesus very well. I mean, I won the conversation, but that didn't represent Jesus very well. Right? Selfless. Like, the blessed are the meek, the people that are characterized by really these qualities, right, that point back to Jesus. So the hope is as we look at this, we go, okay, man, Lord, help me know what this looks like. How do I live this out? God, how do I walk with you in such a way that you come out? When I face injustices, when I'm interacting with people that totally reject you and your way of life and are pushing that in my face, God, may you come out in those moments. One of the definitions I really like about trying to help us understand this idea of meekness. Well, I actually want to say this before. If you were to kind of Google a definition of meekness, that would give you kind of the English language definition of meekness. But when we read the Bible and we're trying to understand what the Bible is saying, we need to go back to the original languages that it was written in. What was the original author trying to communicate to the original audience? Like, what did it mean then and there before we try to look at how do we live it out to the today and now? So a lot of English translations will just say it meek means like mild, or even can be weakness, but that's not the biblical understanding of meekness. It's way more like a power or a strength that's under control, that has been humbled, yielded. So some talk about how meekness is like meek as a mouse. Maybe you've heard that terminology. But comparing meekness to a mouse is a terrible analogy comparison of the biblical definition. It'd be more like comparing to the animal would be a horse. Right? There's this power, there's this might, there is this ability, but right when it's broken, it can become under control. A willingness to yield to whoever's giving direction. Right, there's such a gentleness can be with the horse, right, that we can even put our little children on their backs with all this power, and yet it goes well for our kids, right? And even, right, the contribution, the productivity that can come from horses, right, from times ago when they're leading into battle or working the land, right? So much ability and might, but under control, right? That's what it looks like to be meek. To have an ability, to be able to have that last word in the conversation, but to not. To be able to kind of play the game with the way other people are doing it in a way that maybe is disrespectful or rude, but to not. To choose to do things the Lord's way. I was reminded of my early years of walking with the Lord. I just get involved in church and serving and investing in youth. And I was driving back from work from Spokane, and there was this driver behind me kind of just being obnoxious and rude, like just all over the place. So when they finally went to pass me, I was so tempted to greet them how I used to greet people before I knew the Lord when they did things like that, to just to communicate. Yeah, you did all of that. Well, I can play that game too with my one hand and my one finger. And but I was like, but wait, as a believer, we don't do that. I'd had this struggle. And then think it was somebody from church that just went by. And I was like, well, I'm really glad I didn't do that. I might talk to you at church on Sunday about how you were driving, but right there is this sense of I have an ability to do and to communicate things, but I'm choosing not to because it's not about me, right? Lord, how do you use me to reflect you, to point others to you? Right, I could respond, I could retaliate, but I yield. Right, this is what Jesus modeled for us, right? Jesus is the ultimate picture of what it looks like to be meek. He actually describes himself that way in Matthew 11 and verse 29. Jesus invites the disciples, says, take my yoke upon you, let me teach you because I am humble, or I'm meek and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Right, Jesus is saying this is a part of who he is, that he has a humility, a meekness, that he has all this strength and ability, but he doesn't use it to crush. We even and see again where he describes himself this way in Matthew 21 in verse 5, right before he rides in the part of the triumphal entry. But he says this in Matthew 21, 5. It says, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, or he is meek, riding on a donkey's colt. Right, Jesus the King, Jesus the Creator, the all-powerful one, humbling himself, yielding, right? Choosing to trust to do life on this earth God's way. Yes, one day he's gonna come back, right, as the Lion of Judah, as the King, and he will bring judgment, but that wasn't God's timing, that wasn't God's will. Right, he yielded to the Father. He didn't take matters into his own hand. And in fact, towards the end of Matthew 26, again, we get to see his power right before the mob comes and arrests him. And as they come, Peter grabs a sword and he goes to fight. He cuts off one of the servant's ears. But Jesus says this in Matthew 26, 52. He says, put away your sword, Jesus told them. Those who use the sword will die by the sword. Don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us and he would send them instantly? But if I did, how could the scriptures be fulfilled that describes what must happen now? Right? Jesus had all of this power kind of at his fingertips, these thousands of angels, right? Could be up to some 72,000 angels that could come in this moment and obviously wipe out the mob. But Jesus wasn't living from his own perspective. He wasn't just living to make things easy for himself, right? He was living to please the Father, to trust the Father. Right? Nate said, this isn't the time, this isn't the way. Had this strength, this ability, but he yielded it. Right? That a gentleness, a humility, a selflessness would come out. But kind of another analogy, right? So Jesus is the ultimate example. I think we have other examples of meekness. I think about, I was talking to one of the guys on Thursday night, one of our Marines at church here. He's talking about the Navy SEALs, right? The most trained and kind of deadly soldiers, but learn to bring that all under control, to keep their cool, to be able to respond in a way that is appropriate, that doesn't always match their strength and ability, but for what the is kind of needed in that moment. Again, this reminder for us, right? Blessed are the meek, those who willingly humble themselves, to choose a gentleness, to not make it about themselves, even when it means suffering, like with Jesus. Peter records this in 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, God has called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. He never sinned nor deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we could be dead to sin and live for what is right. And by his wounds you are healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to the shepherd, the guardian of your souls. Right? We're to follow Jesus, the example that he set for us, that we would be, right, salt and light in this world, that people would come to know who our God is. Often, though, that means that we're not gonna respond in our natural tendency, not just play the game that other people play, not to live in the circumstance, but to be willing to suffer, to not retaliate just like Jesus didn't, right? And he was the creator. He's perfect. He never did anything wrong, right? Sometimes we blow it. Sometimes we deserve the things that people say to us. It's like, well, actually, that was true. I totally blew it. But not with Jesus, right? He left his case in the hands of God. Right? He didn't force his way. Again, Jesus said it, Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, like good for you, right? It's happy are you when you are meek, for you will inherit the earth. What does that mean? What does it mean to inherit the earth, right? This isn't like a Mormon doctrine that we're all gonna be God someday and have our own planets and earths that we're gonna rule. That's not what he's talking about. Right, Peter records that at the end of time, right, God is going to judge everything, the living and the dead and even the world, and all of it's going to get consumed by fire and burn up, and he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And as we follow him, we're going to be a part of what he's doing. Right, he has this reminder, this kind of time frame for Jesus. Blessed are the meek, those that choose to walk with God, those that choose to not make it all about themselves. Blessed are them, they will inherit the earth. They will be a part of my true eternal kingdom. I don't really like that time frame. I wish it was like, all right, blessed are the meek because they get the payback right now. But that's not what it says, right? Blessed are the meek. Why? Because big picture, it's worth it to trust God and do life his way. Right? So often, I know for me, I can get caught in the circumstance, in the moment. Again, whether it's an argument with a loved one trying to disprove how right I am, or whether it's a business interaction, or things within government or politics. And it's so caught in the horizontal, the down here, the things just on this earth. And then I start to respond and interact the way that people do in this world that don't know the Lord. But blessed are the meek, blessed are those that are able to zoom out, to have a bigger perspective. They will inherit the earth. One of the things I think is really an encouragement of some of the blessing that's not just in the eternal, the big picture, but there is a blessing in this life. And we're gonna find that in Psalm 37. So if you have your Bible up, we're gonna read quite a few of the verses from Psalm 37. It's actually the passage that Jesus quotes in saying that blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. It's quoted there in Psalm 37. And in this Psalm 37, we see that David's writing and he's talking a lot about how it kind of seems like the wicked are getting away with everything, right? They're gonna do their own thing. They're gonna prioritize themselves. They're gonna trample on God's people. And it just seems like there's no consequence. And there's some encouragement here for us to have God's perspective, a bigger perspective in those situations. Psalm 37, starting in verse 1. Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. Don't worry. Don't fret. For like grass, they soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they soon wither. Instead, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. Right? There's this encouragement, right? Hey, don't get so caught up and those people that are living contrary to God that seem like it's just going all well for them, all the while, right, this encouragement, no, you trust God. No, you do the things that God has for you. Even if it means suffering and difficulty, no, delight in God. Be focused on who he is. Don't live just in the temporary down here. No, eyes up on God. Trust in him. Continues in verse 6. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Verse 7, so be still in the presence of the Lord. Wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about the evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm. for the wicked will be destroyed, but those who trust in the Lord will possess the land. Verse 10, soon the wicked will disappear. Though you look for them, they will be gone. The lowly will possess the land and will live in peace and prosperity. And then jumping all the way down to verses 28 and 29. Again, a third reference to this, how the lowly will inherit the land. It says, for the Lord loves justice, which we're going to talk more about that next week, the next beatitude. He will never abandon the godly, and he will keep them safe forever, but the children of the wicked will die. The godly will possess the land and will live there forever. Right? There's this promise. Those who trust in the Lord will inherit the land. Those who are lowly or meek will inherit the land. Those who are godly will inherit the land. This reminder, this big picture, man, God is going, he is working. He will work. You can trust him. So don't fret. Your anger does not bring about the righteousness of God. James says that in chapter 1. You are not the solution to all of the world's problems. That's good news. Right? We can try to control circumstances, people, right? Even our kids. If you would just do what I say, everything will go well for you. And the Lord's like, are you listening? Right, there is this blessedness in meekness when we realize that God is God and we're not. And though there are things that happen around us that are not honoring to him, that are not things that point back to him, he sees it, he cares, he's involved. We're not the savior. He has us in this world to be salt and light, to represent him, to be a witness to him, but not to control outcomes. Right? Just think of Jesus going to the cross, right? Being one of his disciples, loving Jesus, like him talking about the kingdom and just thinking that now finally Jesus is gonna to get on the throne and he's gonna start to reign and get rid of this godless government that just doesn't honor God. And instead, right, he tells Peter, no, put the sword away. And he allows them to capture him and put him on trial and then to crucify him, right? Everything in that moment seemed like, God, what are you doing? Where are you? Why have you forsaken us? Like, what's happening? Right? But we know from our perspective, right, what God was doing, that in Christ, right, he was paying the debt for all of our sin, that he was conquering death, that he was raised Jesus from the dead to change, right, how God interacts with us and setting us up to be able to have right relationship with him. God was working, right? So much so, right, Hebrews talk about how Jesus was able to actually have joy in the midst of that moment because he looked past the cross to see what God was doing. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those that are willing to trust God, to not try to control all the outcomes, to not just try to retaliate and do things the way this world does things. There's encouragement in Romans chapter 12 to kind of make some room for God in our interactions. Romans 12, starting in verse 17, says, never pay back evil with more evil. Right? When you experience injustices, when things aren't okay that happen to you, that does not give us license then to retaliate with more evil. Just because somebody insults you doesn't give you a right to insult them back, even when you're married to them. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you were honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. Because the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. So don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Right, this reminder, this reality that right as believers walking with the Lord in this world, we will face evil things, injustices, things that aren't okay. How are we to respond? How are we to engage? Right, like Jesus, blessed are the meek. Doesn't mean there's not times where we rise up and we say things, right? This is a message on meekness, right? Some of next week, we're talking about blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So there is this place where we engage, right? We're in a country where we get to vote. We are to say things, but we are not to try to control outcomes. We are not to play the game the way the world does. We're not to do business the way the world does business. We're not to do politics the way the world does politics. No, we're not to be overcome by that evil, but overcome that evil with good. Meekness, a humility, a gentleness. Right, I'm thinking about, we got the elections coming this fall. I'm sure it's going to go really well. It went really well last time, really peaceful and calm in our country, just a lot of love and seeing each other's perspective. It was just, yeah. How do we as believers show Christ a meekness? We have an ability, we have a power, an understanding as we walk with God, but that doesn't mean we just unload it on whoever, right? The reality is if Jesus didn't have meekness within him, we all would have been smited a long time ago. But he doesn't, right? He wants relationship. He wants us to come to a place of repentance that we acknowledge that he exists, that he's for real, that he made us and he wants a real relationship with us. And then he wants to use us to be a part of what he's doing, that the things that we would do would matter for eternity, that we'd be a part of his kingdom, helping people come to know him. I find it interesting in 1 Peter 3, Peter's encouraging the early church that when people are asking him why they have hope, like, why are you a Christian? Right? And there's this opportunity to be a witness. He reminds them, share with them why you believe, but do it with gentleness and respect. I think one of the areas that as Christians, we can often lose our meekness is in our witnessing, in our apologetics, right? It's important for us to know what we believe and why. So good for us, right? It creates a foundation for us, a confidence for us, helps us to be able to engage other teachings. But I think as Christians often, when we kind of see a little gap, all of a sudden it's like a truth bomb on people. Well, did you know this? And did you know this? And did you know this? And we just beat on people with the truth. And obviously it was happening then as well, right? Because Peter's like, hey, make sure when you share with people why you believe, why you're a Christian, why you do life the way you do it with gentleness and respect. Not to prove that you're right, right? Sometimes we can be so right and truthful, but if we don't have love, we're wrong. We're not honoring the Lord. We're not pointing people to him well, right? There's this tension of truth and grace. Right, that people would see who our God is. He loves us enough to tell us the truth, but then he makes a way for us to be right with him. Blessed are the meek, humble, gentle, selfless, for they will inherit the earth. Right? They'll be a part of God's kingdom, what God's doing. And we don't need to fret. We don't need to try to control all those things. Well, how do we grow? How do we grow in meekness? Anybody in here have any room for growth when it comes to meekness? Right, we all do. And again, I find it interesting that Jesus doesn't say, like, blessed are you when you're meek. Oh, I had this moment of meekness. Oh, God, I was selfless today. Like, yay. Oh, and he's like, blessed. Like, no, he's like, blessed are the people that are characterized. Blessed are the meek, not just the people who pretend to be meek. Blessed are the meek. So it's like, okay, man, God, I need you to do a work in me. I need you to change me, transform. I'd be more like you, Jesus, and less like myself. Right? I so love to win arguments and to be right. And then even when I get those things, right, I am a terrible God. But I'm grateful I know the one true God. So how do we grow in meekness? Number one, I think it's acknowledging that we need some help. So we're gonna pray, we're gonna ask God, God, would you help grow me? Would you help change and transform my character, that I won't get that last word in, that I'll just stop, that my words will be kind, that I won't do business this way I'm treated, but I'll do business in a way that honors you, that I'll treat my neighbors in a way that honors you, not how they treat me, but I'll show your love and your grace. God, would you help me? So we need to be praying. I think also it's important that we're people that are in God's word, we're spending time in his word. I love reading just how God interacts with his people in scripture. It's just a reminder for me that God is always playing the bigger picture. I can so easily get caught up in the moment, but scripture helps remind me, no, God has this bigger plan in place. We can trust him and walk with him. So let's be people that stay in the word. I think another area that's really important of helping us grow in meekness is to invite other people in to that conversation, right? To share with people, hey, I would love for you to help me grow and maybe point out areas when I'm not being very meek or gentle or kind, but do that in a helpful way, right? Maybe you're with somebody that'll just say, I'll tell you every time you blow it. But that we'd have real relationship, that we'd be honest with one another, we'd pray for each other, that we would grow in our ability to be meek. Here in a moment, the worship team's gonna be coming up and we're gonna be wrapping up. And one of the songs that we're gonna sing here at the end is talking about how, God, I need you. God, I need you to do a work in me, right? To be the one that's changing and transforming me. That right, again, as we face injustice, as we face evil, as we face people that are rejecting our God, how do we engage in a way that they see Jesus? How do we know, right, how much truth to share? How do we know when to be silent? Right, we need to be people that are in tune with God, prayerful, praying together. But also remembering, right, big picture, our God wins. Big picture, it's worth it to walk with him. As we're wrapping up here, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about, man, it comes to being a person of meekness. That is impossible if we don't have a relationship with Jesus. So if you're here today and you haven't made that decision to surrender your life to God, I wanna encourage you to do that. To not try to do life on your own and try to be somebody that just stands before God in your own righteousness, because none of us are good enough to stand before our holy God and have him say that we're okay and we can be a part of his heavenly kingdom. We are all guilty. His standard is perfection, and he met that in his son, Jesus. He wants to do relationship with us. If you've never made that decision, I encourage you to surrender to God. The people at the sides here, they'd love to pray with you and tell you what it looks like to walk with God. You don't have to do life alone. But for those of us that have made that decision, we have surrendered our life to God. Right, let's continue to be a people that seek after him, that encourage each other to stay connected to him. Right, as it continues to be beautiful outside and so tempting to disconnect and go do good things, but we can miss out on the best thing of doing life with our God and each other. So stay connected. Let's be praying that God would help us engage in our community, in our families, in our neighborhood, in our country with meekness, a strength, under his control for his glory and his good. Let's pray together. God, we are thankful for you, thankful that you love us. Thank you that you have saved us. Thank you that in our desperation, you don't reject us. You bring us in and you make us whole. You remake us to be more like you. And God, we need that. Thank you for your spirit that lives within us. Thanks for your body. Help us to walk with you in a way that helps others see your goodness and your truth, that more can be a part of your kingdom. We love you, God, and we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.